Okay, so it's Pop Culture Wednesday. We're going to talk about Dr. Stone Season 2, Demon Slayer, along with the 911 series, and some news. Okay, here we go. Hello, people of the interwebs. It's UA, it's Eason, and Cheyenne.
Hello.
Today here on Pop Culture Wednesday, we're going to talk about Dr. Stone Season 2, Demon Slayer, along with the premieres of 911 and 911 Lone Star, along with some other news that we've found out over our break.
All right, getting into it. So for Dr. Stone, what did you think of Season 2, Ace?
Okay, spoiler alert first. If you haven't watched it, don't listen to this. But I really like how Season 2 has started out. With now they're like getting into all these like advanced machines, like the steam engine and... what else was it? They made tires. There's this one scene where Senku is trying to capture Homura because nobody else can capture her because she's like really fast and agile. But he throws a flash grenade, which is a cool thing because it shows you how he makes it. And it seems pretty simple too.
That's true. I really like the way that they like incorporate different energy sources because they did the steam engine and then they did the satellite. And then they found out a way to use the waterfall to make carbonated water, which I thought was really cool. But I think that was towards the end of Season 1, actually.
Yeah, that was at like the end of Season 1. But I like how this Season 2 is starting to ramp up to the whole title of the season, Stone Wars. It's like Senku and his science society is like starting to wage a war against Tsukasa's Empire of Strength. But they're planning on doing it without actually hurting anybody, which is cool because you get to see certain characters in Tsukasa's empire that like kind of go and switch sides to Senku just because he brings back like certain technologies that reminds the people of like what it was like before the whole world was petrified.
The one challenging thing with Tsukasa, is that how you say it? Tsukasa or Tsukasa? Either way, his name. Him and Senku are always like, they're like battling each other in a sense, but Tsukasa is more of like, he's slightly a step ahead of Senku, which whenever Senku has like a new invention, quote unquote, Tsukasa knows that it's probably what he's doing. It's weird because he knows exactly what Senku would do, and then he's like, all right, he's going to do this, and then he's going to do this, and we're going to be prepared 4 steps ahead.
And that's true, but like the only flaw is that he's the only one assuming what they're doing. Well, with Senku, you know, like with Chrome, he's stuck inside that cage, but then he's thinking like, I can't be stuck in here the whole time just for them to rescue me because there's traps. So now he's at the end of like, what, episode 9 or 10? He decides he's going to try to figure out a way to get himself out of the cage without having to risk Senku and everybody else in the process.
Because Senku's whole idea is, okay, we're going to make a tank. It's going to be running off of steam. And we're just going to go straight in and try and save him. And then Chrome's like, well, there's a giant pit with like a bunch of poles and stuff like that. And then I feel like once he figured that out, most likely Senku figured it out. And he was like, there's no way they're going to make it that easy. So we're still on the most recent episode. We still got to watch it. But my guess is that they're going to save Chrome, but probably not the way they want to.
I don't know. My only thing is I'm worried about who's going to die because someone's going to have to die and like to make it more dramatic. And I'm guessing it's going to be like someone important. Probably the old man's going to sacrifice himself maybe, but I don't know. Who knows?
Why would we go straight into death? I don't think that anybody's going to die. Well, I'm hoping nobody dies. But if they do, I think it might be either Ginro or Kinro. Because Ginro is more of like, he's kind of spineless in a way. But he wants to be brave. And I feel like maybe he's going to be like, this is my time. I need to do something. And then Kinro is more of like, oh, I'm by the book. By the rules. Yeah, rules are rules. I feel like maybe that's going to be like his downfall a little bit because he's going to be like, okay, rules are rules. I need to save them. And then, you know, I feel like it might be one of those two.
It's got to be somebody, but I'm not really looking forward to that. But I know in most anime, someone ends up dying at some point. And then another thing I like about Dr. Stone is that when he's explaining how to do the inventions, there's always that side note from Mecha Senku or from Senku saying, like, don't do this at home, or if you want to do it, use, like, some other substitutes that are more safer to use.
I feel like at some point, we should do, like, the inventions where Mecha Senku comes in. We should do those kind of things. Because in the recent one, he was like, all you need is this, this, and that. I'm like, well, we can just do that and just, and you know, just make like TikToks about it, us actually doing it and seeing how it turns out.
And another thing we could do is maybe make the food that we see on anime. That'd be cool too.
I'd say we could do the ones from Food Wars because those are more popular, but Food Wars is kind of weird to get into, you know? But then we could make like the Naruto ramen. That would be pretty nice.
All right, now moving on to Demon Slayer, which I don't know. There's a lot of like hype around it for a long time and I just never watched it. But now that I've watched it, I really like it. It's actually pretty good.
You guys want to know what betrayal feels like? Aeson watched it without me. We've watched everything together, man.
I had to, because, I mean, eventually we're going to watch Demon Slayer, the movie, and I want to at least know some of the backstory behind it.
I mean, I want to watch it from the first episode. Like, I think I jumped in around maybe the fourth episode with you, but it looked like really cool and really fun. I loved the way the demons are all like different and stuff like that. Cause you know, like in TV shows that try and do demons and stuff, they all look the same or have most of the same characteristics. And it's just not as cool. Like the swamp demons, the ones that were taking the girls, that one was really cool. The way they just grinded their teeth, I was like, yeah.
And like the main villain or main demon, I don't really remember his name. I think his last name is Shibukitsu or something. Shibuti or something. I don't know. He looked like Michael Jackson, okay? And that's why I refer to him now. But yeah, like it's a slow, in the beginning it's slow to start because it tells you how, the reason why he becomes a Demon Slayer and how he's trained in order to become the Demon Slayer. It's not like his goal for becoming Demon Slayer wasn't like something he thought of before this all happened. Like in the beginning, his family gets killed by the demon. But yeah, I like how there's like different powers that each demon can get. Like there's one where this guy has like eyeballs with arrows on it, on his hands. And he just uses that to generate like arrows that push things in different directions. And then there's that one girl that can grow six arms and has like these bouncy balls. And then there's one demon that has like these drums that he uses inside a mansion where he can change directions of the rooms. Like flip them around or change them to however he wants. It's really cool, like all the different styles of powers that they get.
I don't know, it's still gonna take me some time to like literally get some time to watch it, but I'm hoping I can finish it before the movie comes out, because that would be awesome. Unless the movie comes out soon.
I don't know.
Damn, well, you know, there's always some time. I got time. Time is on my side. What do you think his sister's role is going to be in this movie?
I don't know. It's going to be like her powers are like greatly different than the other demons. Like it's in a way that it fits his like storyline where he's trying to save her and he's trying to prevent her from eating people because that's how they fully turn into demons. And the only hope of him turning her back into humans is that he makes sure that she doesn't like start attacking everyone. And it's cool because his trainer that he had, he kind of did like these certain spells on her while she's sleeping, so now that she sees every human, she just sees them as like family. So it's like the spell prevents her from attacking her own family, and it rather forces her to protect them instead. And it, in a way, if a demon attacks her family, then she attacks them. Yeah, you know, like you see in the episode with the three demons, how one of them jumped out of the swamp and then she just literally kicked him and spinned his head around. It's kind of like that.
So I take that as a yes, which would be really fucking cool. Well, hopefully she doesn't, you know, eat any humans, which I highly doubt she will, but still there's that possibility, you know? Also, is anybody excited for the Mortal Kombat movie?
I know we are because we've been waiting since months now, even though they pushed it back like a week, which was kind of suck because I was kind of hoping to watch it for my birthday. But we might watch it this weekend too and do a little review on that. Okay, moving on to the 911 series. First, we watched 911 Lone Star, the new episode that came after their break. Gotta say, like, before the break, they left on a cliffhanger with the whole accident that happened in the last episode back in March. And the way they just played it out this episode, I'm glad they didn't do anything drastic, like changing the cast or anything. But it was a good like background story on Judd. And I was really intrigued by the whole way they, you know, like portrayed the meeting of him and his wife.
I know. And then you see where they were before they met, or like during the time that they were meeting, and then see where they are now. And it's like, wow, they were in a role or beginning to get into a role. And then they just escalated from there, which is awesome. I think they were a match made in heaven. And speaking of heaven, Judd wasn't even that religious in the, like in the beginning, like, you know, when he was younger. It like took his friend dying and then him meeting Grace by a Christian hotline.
Yeah, and I really liked how they went about that whole like meeting before actually meeting. Like they got to know each other without actually seeing each other. And it was just cute. Like he just kept calling her even when he didn't have anything to like, he was any problems he had. He was just wanted to talk to her and tell her about his day and how he's progressing to, for the lady to like forgive him for getting in the accident with her son.
But also, what the heck, Fox? We were actually really scared that you were gonna, you know, kill off somebody. Like I really thought it was going to be his wife, or it was gonna be him. It was neither, and I'm happy with that. But what the heck?
I really think it was just like to show how the resolve of their relationship, you know, like in the flashback of the story, he like hits her mom or her dad tells Judd not to go and tell Grace that he loves her because her dad wants her to go on to like Georgetown or wherever, go to Stanford and do something with her life. But she in the end decides not to. And then she tells Judd to look her in the eye and say that he loves her, but he ends up choosing her own future, or he puts himself out of the way of her future in a way. And it's really sad, but like you get that he's trying to like do the best for her.
I feel like in a way he was still holding on to like that moment that happened when he was in the car with his friend, and that's when his friend died. I feel like in that moment when he told her, "I don't love you," he was like, well, I don't want to ruin somebody else's life because I ruined my friend's mom's life by making her think that I was a monster.
Yeah, I can see that. But, I mean, like you see in the beginning of the episode, the kid, the one that died, he's the one that pushed on the gas pedal. So, in a way, it wasn't Judd's fault. He was driving and he helped him, the kid, like, joyride. But it was the kid's fault for pressing on the gas because that made him lose control and hit the thing that they hit when they got in the wreck. So it was kind of like a little bit, I didn't understand it, like why I get that he's blaming the death on himself, but if you think about it, it's also the other kid's fault too. And like, if I know they wouldn't believe him as a kid saying that he helped or like he caused the accident, because, you know, I don't know, it makes sense in my head.
No, I see where you're going with that. It's more of like, because when you're a kid and something super dangerous happens or somebody's life is taken and you're looked at as, oh, you're the prime suspect, you made this happen. And in adults' minds, they're probably like, oh, well, he's going to lie. He's obviously going to lie and try and get himself out of this. But like Judd literally didn't mean for any of that to happen. He tried to like pull away, but the kid was like pushing and pushing. You know, things just happen, you know?
And it's weird because, like, it's coincidence that he ends up helping that lady, the kid's mom, later on in the future. And he completely forgets about it. But then he, like, runs into her and she sees her and then starts calling him a monster. Like, that would rarely happen. Like, if my kid died, I'd just move. But she stayed.
What the fuck is... Let's just rewind a little bit. So if your kid just died, the way you phrased it, like, I know you didn't mean it that way, but it was funny. You just like, if my kid died, I would just move.
Yeah, because, I mean, I wouldn't want to stay there and just have everything remind me of him. Like, I know there's a period where someone needs to grieve, and in my way, I would take that time. But at the same time, it's just punishing yourself by just staying there and forcing yourself to, like, feel that Like, you're never going to forget them. You're always going to, like, cherish the moments, and you're always going to, like, and keep those moments. Like, it's just the stuff that you hold on that keeps them living on in your memories. Okay, now moving on to 911. We just watched it, like, what, five? Not even a minute ago. And I got to say, that was, like, really intense.
I saw the actor who plays Albert Hahn. I saw his tweet and I didn't know what it meant. And then we watched this one and I was just like, no, you better fucking not.
Yeah, because the tweet was like, no matter what happens, I've enjoyed being on this show and being part of the cast. And then just like, you can't tell where to go, which way it's going to go, because he doesn't give any hints to it. And so you just like have to follow that emotional roller coaster throughout the entire episode.
But yeah, so if you guys haven't been catching up on 911, which I highly suggest you do because it's on season 4 now. So what happened in this episode, Maddie, who was having Braxton Hicks, you know, contractions and stuff like that. So that was going on. All the while, a pileup happened because there was a drunk driver with her son in the car.
And like in the beginning, the kid calls 911, but you can't tell what's wrong with her. He just says that she has like a slurred speech and she's not responding. And it isn't until like after the whole pileup and everyone's being rescued that they find out that she was drinking.
I also got to say, I apologize to Captain Nash because me and Asen both thought he was going to relapse and go drink, but he didn't. In the end, he goes to an AA meeting. He fucking did that. What a bad bitch.
I know, I feel bad too, because like in the past, whenever something triggered him, he would relapse. But I mean, this was like intense because there's multiple people, like his wife commenting that the lady was drunk and stupid while driving. And then Han, she commented that it's because of a drunk driver that all this happened, like all this casualties happened. And it was like, it seemed like it was triggering him because you could see in his face that it's like, it just hurt him on every level of his whole being.
Yeah. And then when the airbags weren't disabled in that one car and then it exploded and then that person caught fire, but then had like, you know, burn marks. I feel really bad for him because his family died in a fire. And he was drunk, and that's how it happened.
But it was nice to see that his character is progressing, and he decided to go to a meeting instead of relapsing. And then towards the end of the episode, you see Chimney's brother get into an accident, and that like really it was intense because like Maddie was going into labor, so they were going to have their daughter, and it would be very sad to see Chimney's daughter be born but his brother die at the same time. But I really liked that they didn't go that way like I'm pretty sure everyone was expecting, and decided just to make him live.
All I gotta say is the character development in this show, from watching it from season one all the way until now, is just astonishing, and it's awesome. That's how you do character development, okay, Marvel? You don't just kill off Quicksilver.
And we're just gonna continue with a little bit of news. Cheyenne found out that Spider-Man is going to be on Disney Plus. I'm not sure if it's the early 2000s Spider-Man with Tobey Maguire or the one with Tom Holland. And there's also been a video of Resident Evil 4, the VR version. I'm excited about that one because I played the fourth one and it was pretty cool.
I feel like it's probably going to be the Tom Holland Spider-Man. Although, I would not be mad if it was the Tobey Maguire or Andrew Garfield one. But, I mean, like, there's really not much of a difference. They're all made from Sony, aren't they?
Well, this is pretty short, but that's all we got. And that's the end of the episode. If you want to, look us up on Instagram, TikTok, and I think YouTube. Eventually, not really, but just follow us on there.
Yeah, it's going to be awesome. As always, this was understandably awkward. And this was our Pop Culture Wednesday. See you guys later.